Couple years down the road, it's a Friday, 7 p.m. It's in the middle of the year. Sun sets 8 o'clock. You think it's so beautiful that you're gonna go out and you're gonna find the best view of the city you can, and you're just gonna take in one of the nicest sunsets of the year.
Oh, I know exactly where I'd go.
You may know the spot that you'd go to now, but a couple years down the road, you find a new place.
Oh, okay.
It's west of the city. It's at a really high point, almost like 45, 50 minutes outside of Austin.
Oh, geez.
You kind of wind back up in the hills, like way back up in there. And you look out over Kissin' Point.
What?
Kissin' Point is where Makeout Creek runs. It runs, it comes off of the Colorado River quite a ways away and runs along the edge of this cliff. And it's the most romantic, most beautiful view you've ever seen in your whole fucking life.
Wow.
And it looks westward. And it's an incredible sunset. It's vibrant and brilliant. You see streaks of pinks and purples. You're kind of getting to like that, at the time when like golden hour, the last hour
Yeah,
before
yeah.
sunset, right? Everything starts to change color and take shape, and
It's beautiful.
it's gorgeous. And you're looking out over God's country and you feel it in your fucking bones.
Wow. Okay. Yeah,
And you're out there by yourself, which is weird because Makeout Creek is usually pretty populated. It was like a really happening spot where like people would go and they'd make out and stuff, and experiment sexually and just like be. It was a place where like you could show up on a Friday night and you could go home with somebody, no problem.
Really?
It was just a place where single people went to hook up.
Is that why I'm there like this night, you're saying?
Kind of, you didn't learn about it until about 6 months ago, and the attendance at Makeout Creek there at Kissin' Point has dropped dramatically since you showed up. On this Friday, it's a fucking ghost town.
Hold on. People stopped. Are you saying that people stopped going there after I started going there?
I mean, I guess like if we looked at a timeline of events, you weren't there and it was thriving, and then you showed up and then there was a steep decline in, attendance.
What did I do?
Huh?
I'm just ugly.
No, I dude, I didn't say that at all.
But everyone leaves.
I mean, yeah, people stop coming out there.
So I'm there at a empty makeout point.
Yeah.
That is
Kiss, pardon me, Kissin' Point, which is right off of Makeout Creek.
a really sad mental image right now.
Well, you think that, but then you kind of like sit back on this bench. There's a bench you built. Yeah. I mean, that was one thing that kind of like pissed people off is like you just showed up there and you built a bench like on site and it was loud. your belt sander got away from you and like buzzed like a patch of hair off of a dog. Like people like
Oh,
went, just shit
yeah, all
happens.
right.
What do
Oof.
you think? Fuck everybody else. You know, none of them are taking in the view that I am right now.
Yeah.
And you're watching the sun as it slowly starts to dip over the horizon. And it's just like Nightfall has just walked into the same room as you. Right? Like it's
Okay.
you're just being made aware of its impending presence. It's that perfect time when it switches from evening to night. Right at that moment, you kind of sit there for a few minutes. And nothing has changed. And the air has gone still. You kind of look around. You're like, what the fuck? Like, there's no sound, really. You
no
you
sound.
were listening to music. Yeah, you paused your you paused the music you were listening to.
What was I listening
and,
to?
And you were listening to a song by a Spanish opera singer named Domingo de la Tonio. And
Domingo de la Tonio?
Yeah.
Holy
And
shit.
you know, it was something that you heard on a TV show.
I was about to ask, why am I listening to this? That's so.
It's just like very epic and big.
Okay.
Again, it's so operatic.
It's like an atmospheric kind of thing. I'm
Yeah, 100%.
Cool.
You're
Okay.
watching the sunset over the Texas horizon. You have a Spanish opera man in your ear.
So I do.
You pause the music. You pause that sweet, sweet, syrupy, sweet voice. Domingo de la Tonio. His nickname was The Chosen One. Because he'd had a beautiful voice ever since he was a small child. And all the people
Chosen
in his
one.
village where he grew up, they spent every fucking penny that they had to their name sending him away to school for vocal training.
Whoa.
Yeah, and he became like the world's best opera singer. Male opera singer, I should say.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so he, you know, he spent a bunch of money going back into his village. You know, he changed the lives of everyone there. It was the best that paid off.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah,
kind of
it's like
cool.
It's like a really cool story, and it's very romantic about art and music and how it can change lives.
De La Tonio. Never heard that last name.
It's a not a very big lineage. There's only about three De La Tonios left in the world, and this
Whoa.
is certainly the most successful of them, the most well recognized.
Sure.
Domingo, the chosen one.
Chosen one.
So you pause the chosen one. And take your headphones off. And again, there's no sound. Everything is still. Your hand moves through the air differently. Like there's no resistance. You kind of look around and you're like, everything, it seems like it's stuck. Like you snap your fingers and you don't hear anything. You like clap your hands and you don't hear anything.
Oh, right. The sound's gone. Fuck.
Everything is stuck, right?
That is so scary. Yeah.
You look at the trees and you see that the leaves are blowing. Like they're in a position where like they are parallel to the ground, right? They are not in their normal resting position, but you don't feel the wind. There's no motion. And you kind of wait there for a minute and the sun hasn't gone down any further either. And you sit there and you pull out your phone, like no, like it's not working, you know, no service, nothing.
Okay.
Nothing works. Like there's no, you get in to try to start your car. Nothing happens. Everything is stuck.
Jeez. Is anyone
and you're
around?
sitting there. No. And like I said, everybody else stopped showing up to Kissing Point after, you know, you came
Oh,
around.
right. I'm alone. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're alone. You drove everyone away. So you're
I
there by
can't believe
yourself.
that. Yeah.
Well, you would if you don't need the whole story, I guess. But you know, you're looking there, and it's like nothing is working, and you kind of start to freak out a little bit, you know, right? Like you walk down the road, you feel like the gravel crunch beneath your feet, but you don't see anything moving, you don't hear anything. You kind of like pace up and down the road. You're like, fuck, what the fuck is going on? What is happening? You know,
yeah.
You start to like kind of look around, and you look out again on that beautiful sunset. the moment that the switch is being flipped. And you hear, like, kind of in the distance, you hear a soft lap of wings. You kind of, like, look around, like, you kind of, like, look through a thicket, you know, around a corner. You're kind of scanning the horizon. And from, like, around a building, you see something small flying towards you. And some winged creature, you know, it looks like a small, like a child, you know, it's like the size of a small human. It's sort of round, you know, it's rounder. It's like a little fat, you know, thing, you know.
Okay.
And you look out and you see that it's holding like a bag, like a tool bag in its one hand, big fat stogie in the other.
What?
And even though it's far away, you can smell the smoke off of that cigar.
Holy shit.
And it makes you think about a time you were a freshman in high school. It was homecoming. There was a big bonfire that all the kids, like, you know, went to.
Yeah, I remember stuff like that.
You had a crush on this girl. Her name was Melanie Falcon. And she, you know, it was just like this girl. You had a crush on her and everybody fucking knew it, dude.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Right.
Fuck.
And you thought at this bonfire, you know, you would, you know, tell her how you felt. And, you know, you did tell her, you told her everything and she just laughed. And then everybody else started laughing.
Hey,
and it's the
Melanie.
exact same smell of smoke from that bonfire that you smell coming off that cigar.
Oh, then I get douche chills like I haven't in years.
And it's weird, like, you know the sun to be of a certain size, right? And it's almost like your mind is playing a perspective trick on you. Because this thing is flying closer towards you, heading in the direction of where the sun is, right? So it's kind of coming at the sun at an angle, and it's moving in your general, on your axis, right, towards you.
Okay.
And it gets to be where it's probably like as close to you where it's in reference to the sun. It's as half as tall as the sun. That's how close it is to you. So it's like a weird perspective trick. Like the sun is actually much smaller than what you think it is in this particular instance, if that makes sense. It's almost
sure.
Like, you know, this thing comes out and he kind of like, he puts a cigar, you know, into his mouth. He chews on the end of it. You see the cherry light up. It illuminates his scarred, pockmarked face.
What the fuck?
And
can
he's
I
got
tell
the
what it is?
rosiest cheeks you've ever fucking seen. What's that?
Like, can I tell from this distance what exactly I'm looking at? Like, is
yeah,
it a
it looks like
person?
It looks like a cherub. Looks like a cherub, but like
Okay.
one that's like seen better days, you
But
know?
With a big
He's smoking a
stoke.
fucking fat stoke, dude.
Oh, shit.
Right? This thing's gotta be an inch and a half, 2 inches in diameter. I don't really know cigars, but it's fucking,
yeah,
it's a thick one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, he's kind of like looking at the situation and he reaches into his bag. And he pulls out like a hammer.
Yeah.
Right. He steps over to the sun. He starts banging on the side of the sun. Right. You see, the sun's like kind of shaking. Nothing's happening. It's almost like it's a set piece, right? Like nothing's happening. Like you're not seeing light being filtered any differently or like moved at all. It's just like this thing is just like a die, like a half of a dial that rests on top of the horizon, and he's like physically manipulating it, right?
Okay.
And you hear him go. He goes, "This fucking sun again." He's like
What
clearly
the?
Pissed off. He kicks the side of it. He goes, "Oh my fucking foot!" And he kind of like turns and he sees you and he locks eyes with you. And he kind of like looks at you and he like waves his hands, you know.
I
What
probably
do you
give
do?
him like a what the fuck kind of gesture.
He puts that cigar in his mouth, and he goes, "Holy fuck! Normally there ain't many of you around." And he flies over to you. You smell that fucking smoke in the air.
Holy shit.
He introduces himself. He says, name's Scooter. And I'm here to fix the sun. It's on the fritz.
Scooter, what the fuck is going on, dude?
He goes, I'm here to fix the sun.
What's wrong with it?
He goes, it's stuck, you fucking idiot. It hasn't moved for 20 minutes. He goes, do you pay any attention to anything around you?
Okay, sorry. Sorry, Scooter.
He goes, get over here. Help me out. He flies back. You see his fucking bare ass. You see his balls.
Right? I guess I shout, what do you want me to do? Because
He goes, get over here and I'm going to show you.
How?
He goes, just walk, you fucking idiot.
Stop being a jerk. I'm not going to help you if you keep calling me an idiot. Also, what the fuck is going on? This is crazy.
He takes a big rip off the cigar and he blows smoke in your direction. And you see that there's like a little like path that kind of gets laid out in front of you. He goes, that better, you bitch. He goes, get over here.
Okay. You know what? As annoyed as I am, I do want to see what's going on. So I guess I jump on this path of smoke.
So you walk on this path of Scooter's cigar smoke, right?
Scooter.
And he goes, all right, we need to push this piece of shit.
Okay.
He's like, you go low and I'll go high.
Absolutely not. Before we go any further, what is your deal, dude?
He goes, I'm here to restart the sun. I don't know how to tell you any other thing.
Scooter, you have to understand that like this has completely broken my view of the universe. This is like you're saying that you're here to fix the sun like it's hardware. Like who sent you?
He pulls out he like reaches in his tool bag and he pulls out a little sundial and he goes, if we're not out of here in 30 minutes, I miss $2, you call it, at Gazonga's. He goes, and I ain't missing $2, you call it.
Oh, this guy.
So help me out so we can get out of here. He goes, you go low.
Okay.
And you see him like reach out to the sun where it sets in the horizon. He kind of like flies and he's like got his hands on the top edge of what you would recognize as the sun. But again, in this context, it's just like a mechanical part that
it's like
stuck.
A prop. Yeah, okay.
Right, yeah.
All right.
So he's like flying up top, right? He's above you. His fucking dick and balls are like centimeters from the top of your bald head, right? He's like right there. Yeah, they're very close.
All right.
You're on the bottom, and he goes, 1, 2, 3. And you guys push. And you hear like something. You hear like something freak, and then you hear a loud bang. And it gives way. And you see the sun start of like shutter back into place. And he kind of like he motions back to where you were standing before. And he goes, after you. So you go back to Kissing Point.
It's still empty?
Oh, it's a fucking desert, dude. It may as well be fucking Chernobyl.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Holy shit. I can't believe that I ruined a fucking whatever.
Scooter, right. Scooter goes, man, what happened to this place? We used to look up from above and you see some of the craziest shit.
I just act like I don't know. I'm too embarrassed.
He's a little disappointed, you know.
Sorry.
He goes, thank you. He goes, I appreciate your help. I don't normally run into you humans too often.
Yeah,
he goes,
really,
let me take
really
you
weird.
Let me take you out for a drink.
What?
He goes, let me take you out for a drink as a way of saying thank you. What do you not understand?
Okay, man. I don't drink. I'm just going to head home, I think.
He kind of looks at you and he's like, he goes, let me buy you dinner then. He goes, it's what I have to do to make it right.
Okay, fine.
He goes, I know just the place. He reaches out a hand, a fat little hand, plump little hand. You take his hand.
I guess, yeah.
You grab Scooter's hand, and you see those little wings on his back just start to flip, flap, flip, flap, flip, flap, just speed up, right? Like a hummingbird. And the next thing you know, you land 2 feet on the ground, and you're in front of what looks to be like a dive bar, right? And Scooter goes, "This place has the best enchiladas you will ever fucking eat."
Okay.
He goes, "Trust me on this."
Okay. As we walk in, I
So,
ask him about, I go, did we just, what, like teleport or what?
goes, "I
I
flew
guess,
here."
yeah, I guess he's like magic, clearly. This is fucked.
So you guys, you, and again, you're like half of you, like most of these guys are like a half to a third of your size. You're very much, much bigger than everybody else, you know? So you have to like duck through. It's like a Shaquille O'Neal level size differential.
What?
Yeah, you're much larger. They're cherubs, you know, they're
Oh,
smaller,
they're
you
all
know?
like him. Okay, yeah,
Yeah,
fair enough.
they're it's like all these cherubs. And you kind of look around, it's like clearly they're cherubs, but they don't look like what you understand cherubs look like. They look weathered, you know, they look worn, they look like real people, you know. They're not, they're sure
Yeah.
they have rosy cheeks, but you know, time is has not been well to some of them.
Sure.
So you walk into this this bar. It's called Stags with a Z on the end.
Stags.
Yeah. You go in, you see all these different cherubs there. They're all like wearing dresses, you know, or like cloaks or whatever. I don't know, whatever. What are the, what they call that? Like a gown, a robe?
I guess
Is there a name for
robes,
what a
yeah.
cherub wears? Well, the what we would know is robes, but they're all clearly not wearing anything underneath them, you know.
Gross.
Some of them have hats on, some of them have like other accessories, you know. There's like a couple of Livestrong bracelets in there, you know.
Still?
Yeah, they, I mean, they're a little slower, but they made them up there, you know.
Right.
So you're at Stags, right?
Holy shit. Okay, I guess the first thing I do is we sit down and I go, before we
You're
order.
clearly not going to fit in the chair.
Okay.
So you just kind of like sit on the floor and like tuck your legs underneath the table.
That's fine. I just go, dude, you gotta tell me. You have to understand. This is so fucking weird to me. You gotta. Call me a fucking idiot all you want. You got to explain this to me. I don't know what's going on.
Waitress comes over. She kind of like can't take her eyes off of you. And Scooter like looks at her and he's like, "Hey, hey." And he like snaps at her, and he and she kind of like snaps out of it. She's like, "I'm sorry, I've just never seen a human before."
Oh, no.
And Scooter's like, "Well, then treat him like the guest that he is." And he passes you a menu, and he goes, "Whatever you want." It's pretty standard, you know, continental restaurant fare.
Okay.
It would be the equivalent of like a, or no, this is the enchilada place, so it'd be the equivalent of like a Chili's kind of a thing, you
Okay,
know.
sure, that's fine.
They got a bunch of different shit like that.
I get some water and chicken enchiladas with green sauce, please.
Scooter gets the same thing. She's like, "Great, coming right up." And you can see that she like rushes to the back and immediately like starts telling the kitchen staff that there's a human out there, you know. People like
Oh,
looking
so
up
this
through the
is.
window, you know. So Scooter goes on to tell you that the sun's been around for a long time, right?
Oh, has
Okay.
it?
That's how he starts. He goes, "Look,
Holy
long
shit.
time ago, bam, there's the sun." Okay. Right. He goes, "And every now and then the sun needs a little help to stay on track." You know, he goes, after trillions of years, certainly you can understand, you know, everybody needs a
Yeah.
little help now and then. And that's what cherubs do. Cherubs, their role is that when the sun gets stuck, they go out there, they fucking bang on it for a while. They got a whole series of tools they have. They've got hammers, they got levers, they got bars, you know, they got a winch if they really get in a tough spot. But you know, they were able to have a human
Cherub's
help them out,
winch.
you know.
Yeah.
Huh?
A cherub's winch.
Oh yeah, Cherub has one of the best winches in all of winches.
Okay.
They're known for their winches. So He goes on to tell you that, you know, their job is that when the sun gets a little off course, they got to come out there and right the course. And they were there to help. You know, you were there to help them. And he says, you know, sometimes he goes, normally that job would have taken me well past $2 you call at times. He goes, but because of you, I'm gonna make it. He goes, so get whatever you want.
Okay, man.
So you order your enchiladas, right? They come out, and I gotta be honest with you, Pat. They're the best enchiladas you've had in your whole fucking life.
Oh wow.
The green sauce is just spicy enough. You know, sometimes it can be a little too spicy depending upon where you go. This is just spicy enough, but it's still rich. It still has depth. It's full of flavor. The chicken is extremely juicy, flavorful. They didn't skimp. Cheese melted on top of it, you know, before the sauce was on there. The tortillas are toothsome. You eat it, and you just close your fucking eyes, and you go, holy shit.
Yeah.
He's, you know, like, these are the best fucking enchiladas I've ever had in my life. And Scooter kind of looks at you, and he goes, I told you so.
All right, well, hey, man, you were right. Thanks. That was awesome.
So you kind of hang out with Scooter there for a little while, right? People, like, the waitress comes over, and she's, like, asking, you know, she's like, is it rude if I have questions? Can I talk to you about human stuff?
Yeah, if you want.
You know, and she
after those enchiladas, you can ask me whatever you want.
She brings you a second helping of them.
Holy fucking fuck.
And because, like, again, you don't feel bad about taking it because, again, these are portions for people that are like half and to a third of your size. So, you know, a second helping for you is nothing, you know?
Yeah.
So they, you know, you spend like 3 hours just like answering questions, talking about you know, the human experience, and it's honestly pretty similar to theirs. You know, it's really not too different. Sure, some of the mechanics may be a little, you know, unconventional or unfamiliar, but it gets the job done in there.
Okay.
And you find that, like, over the course of a few hours, you actually like connect with these cherubs. Everybody's laughing, they're jovial, they're having a good time. Everybody's eating and drinking and socializing, and it's just like a really pleasant communal experience, you know?
Is it a type of thing where other people are coming up and talking to me and asking questions too, or is it just this?
Yeah.
It
kind of turns into like a little bit of a thing, but honestly, you don't mind it. You kind of enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know,
I don't think I would care that much. Yeah, I don't think it would be that big of a deal to me to.
But it's not even that you don't care, but it's that you genuinely have a good time talking to these people.
Okay.
They're asking like interesting, insightful questions that inspires like fun conversation, and everybody's joking and not taking themselves too seriously. Everybody's having a great time. You know, it's just, again, a very nice communal experience. And you're there for a few hours. And you kind of look over at Scooter, and you see he's got tears in his eyes.
Why?
And you ask him, you say, Scooter, my friend, why are you crying? And he wipes the tears from his eyes. He says, Pat, because we don't got too many more nights like this.
What do you mean?
The cherubs are not alone where they live. There's another group. They're the ones that control, like, the money and or you know, whatever their version of commerce is, barter, you know, the trade system, whatever. They control most aspects of like life in their little world. You know, they're bigger, they're stronger, they're more brutish, and they basically use like they exert their power to get the cherubs to like do odd menial jobs and basically like rule over them. You know,
are they also like angelic looking things too? They're just bigger, or
yeah, they weren't, they were always like, again, they were more brutish, so they weren't ever like written about in the Bible. They weren't ever featured in the Bible, but they were there. But they were just like too ugly for the Bible, basically, right? Again, they were larger, again, brutish, just big, square, bone structures, you know. It just,
wow,
something not as pleasant as a pudgy little cherub. But they were the ones behind the scenes pulling the strings. And Scooter goes on to tell you that you're hanging out with some of the last cherubs in existence.
Whoa.
And that the other, the brutish gang, they call themselves the Clarg.
The what?
Clargs. Klargzs. And, yeah.
SCS.
Yeah, SCS. They're coming for this last band of cherubs.
Holy shit, when?
You know? He says, we think it could be any day now. And he goes, honestly, he goes, Pat, you're big enough. He goes, you could help us. And then people at the bar start to, like, or the, at the restaurant start to, like, oh my God. They go, Pat, would you help us? They go, will you fight the Clarks with us?
I don't know if I could. This is a lot to get involved with, man.
He, Scooter pulls like a giant blueprint out of his tool bag and he lays it out on the table. Got that fucking stogie in his, he's using it to like gesture. It's lighting up the fucking blueprint as he does it.
Wow. Okay.
He goes, I've been scouting their defenses now for a little while. He points to like three different areas. He goes, we take these three out, we got them sunk. And he goes, Pat, we could use you most right here. And he burns a fucking hole right in the map, right in the middle of these three points.
Okay.
He goes, will you come fight with me?
Man, I gotta tell you, I just don't see how I could possibly be of any help.
He goes, you're so much bigger than us.
I know that, but I can't get involved. I mean, they're too ugly for the Bible, I think you said. Like, that's really intense. I don't think I'd be able to help you fight those guys.
A cherub
That sounds
flies
horrifying.
In. He's wearing an eye patch. He's got a like a
What?
like he's got like a yeah, he's their weapons master. He's got like a spiked club in his hand,
Jeez.
Like a baseball bat, and he puts it in yours. And he goes, will you help us, Pat? Will you help us defeat the Clargs and save our little band of cherubs?
You know, you're not going to like me for this next question, but what's in it for me? You're asking me to get involved with some sort of like borderline celestial like war or something, and I just can't. That's so much to deal with, and I need to see what I get if I do this. I'm at that point in my life where I gotta think about number one a little bit, you know?
Scooter kind of like stands up on his chair and then he steps up onto the table. You're looking at him like face to face. And he says, Pat, I think we've had a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
So he goes on to tell you that in exchange for helping them defeat the Clarks, he will give you permanent access to the Cherub Realm. And you can come and go anytime you want. You'll never pay for another anything. And he leans in, he goes, and I mean anything. Anything you want.
It's mine.
In the Cherub Realm. Yeah.
Okay. So
and then he kind of, he goes, he's like, if not, I get it. I understand. Because I knew my life changed when I met you, because we don't meet a lot of humans.
Yeah, why is that? Why is it that I can perceive you guys, do you think?
He says, he goes, honestly, I don't really know. He goes, I've only met three humans in my entire life. Amelia Earhart, Bob Barker, and you.
Holy shit. That is rarefied, yeah. Rarefied air, you know?
He goes, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, no, man, I'm sorry. I got to turn you down. This is too much. And I mean, this place seems cool, but like I got a life to live and I can't
He's like,
fight.
He goes, we don't need you to stay here. You can come and go as you want, Pat.
Fuck it. Yeah, let's do this.
He says, yeah, really?
Yeah, I'll help you.
You see how tears start to flow from his face. The weapons master tears fill up in his eye patch, and he has to like lift it up to drain it out. It's so full.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's how. Oof, okay.
So everybody starts to cheer, right? You know,
Do we have like
Scooter
live
goes,
weapons or?
yeah, they put that spiked club in your hand.
But that's all?
That's all you have. That's all I gave you.
We don't have like guns or?
No, they don't have guns. They're fucking cherubs, Pat.
Okay, well, okay.
Fuck. So you see everybody kind of like come in and reappear a few minutes later with like their sort of makeshift crude weaponry, a lot of blunt objects, some sharp objects.
Man, I bet.
You know, they're all just like doing cocaine. You know, they're just doing bumps, right?
Oh no, man, I'm
Yeah, they're
starting to
just
have.
the echoes of their screams just bounce off of every flat surface inside of this restaurant.
Their screams?
Yeah, they're just like doing bumps, screaming. You know,
They're getting really into it. Okay.
they're getting very into it.
Man.
So Scooter lays out the plan on the table. He shows you the 3 points you guys are going to go to. He needs you to go to the middle one and deal with the security there.
All right.
So he goes, grab my hand. And he grabs the little fat fucking hand, his little pudgy hand,
Okay.
sticks it out there. You grab his hand.
Yeah.
You grab his hand and you immediately land your feet down in like a wooded area. And you can see that there's like crude tree houses in the trees, right?
Yeah.
Scooter points up there and he goes, that's our target. So you grab that fucking club in your hand. There's a stairwell.
You can't fly me up there?
He looks at you and he goes, I think you should take the stairs. And he zips up to the top. So
Okay.
you take the stairs. You're huffing and puffing, you know, right?
Jeez.
You kind of stand there at the doorway, and you look over on the side and you like nod at the Scooter, and he kind of nods at you and he goes like 3, 2, 1. You kick open the door and you're immediately shot in the face.
Ah!
You kick over the door. As soon as you kick over the door, you're just blasted in the face immediately.
Oh,
The
man.
cherubs scatter at the sound of the gunshot. They don't lose anybody. He just gets blown to smithereens and rolls all the way down all those stairs, just battered and bruised. Yeah,
Wait, my body falls.
your body falls down the entire stairwell. It just bounces down the
Oh,
whole thing. Your lungs were still breathing. So that's how hard you were huffing and puffing. And then you went back down. And your body lay there at the bottom of the stairwell. They kicked it over the side of a cliff and it was eaten by wild dogs.
oh man. I should have just walked away. I could have walked away. Ah.
You didn't. You fucking died.
Fuck.
Eventually, the
Oh
Clargs,
no.
they view this as a threat.
Well,
Later that
yeah.
night, they attack
Yeah.
the last remaining Cherub clan, wipe them from existence. And
Oh man.
in 180 days, the sun stops working, and it's like it's perfect for when that happens in Austin. But some places it was like high noon, and it was like over the Caribbean, so it was like 120 degrees, like forever. Other places never saw day again, and slowly, like humanity just like lost its mind and was scattered throughout the globe before it was eventually wiped out.
By what?
Because there were no cherubs to fix the sun.
Oh,
'Cause
my.
you got them all killed.
Well, I didn't.
You got shot right in
You
the
said the
face immediately.
cherubs escaped. Oh, but then you said they got killed later.
Yeah,
Okay. God
remember?
damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They
Fuck.
died.
Okay.
And
Oh, man.
the world's flame was extinguished.
And my body was never recovered, I'm assuming. If it was, it just
Oh
like.
no, they kicked it off a cliff. It was eaten by dogs. Yeah. You were just shit out later on at a place that you don't even know really exists.
Oh man. Fuck.
Yeah.
Oh